It's time for What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
Morena, Marama, how are you this morning?
Morena, Rachel, I'm really good. Thank you very much. How are you?
Very well, thank you. We've got some big ones to talk about today. Let's start with the situation in Ukraine at the moment. Now, Goris Gariman has been calling for an extension to visas and so has Ricardo Menendez-March, for Ukrainian citizens and residents who are currently in Aotearoa. What's the Green Party's position more broadly on the situation we have seen overseas at the moment?
Yeah, look, we've been very clear. I guess the top thing is we want to see peaceful, non-violent resolutions used, and we want to de-escalate all military weapons and all violent conflict, in fact. And that's been a long-standing position for the Green Party on these situations around the world forever. That has always been our principled position. So we continue that, and we've gone further to say that, you know, what is international diplomacy if not building up those relationships and conversations across like-minded states and players and actors to call for the enduring peace-building work. War will and violent conflict will always fall more heavily on those with the least power and resource on all sides. So this is not good to see, the violent conflict that we are now seeing.
How do you feel about the government's response so far? We've seen sanctions and we've seen talks. What do you feel about the way the government has been responding?
I think that the government has talked about using all diplomatic levers and avenues. I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, we've definitely not seen any tendency or any whisper of adding more military intervention, and that's the right thing. From the Greens' perspective, we'd actually like to see, and, you know, we know that there are some examples of others calling for similar use of diplomatic relationships to put some further pressure and influence, particularly on Russia. Sanctions, I mean, we understand that completely. There is a particular use of sanctions that I think is the least action that we can take. We just have to, maintain and be mindful of using sanctions in an enduring way. Mm-hmm. And there is an absolute obligation to cut off all funding to what is an illegal war, but all war is violent and should not happen. But, you know, the sanctions need to still be targeted and aimed at war funding and those in power and control, rather than the type of broad trade sanctions that actually end up impacting on ordinary people. So the well-being and rights of ordinary people in Russia and Ukraine and surrounding and relevant locations needs to be at the centre of all of these discussions.
To come back to the idea of visa extensions, that is something that would apply to ordinary people who are in Aotearoa at the moment. What would the Green Party like to see in terms of a timeline? I know that that there's been calls for immediate extensions to those visas, but in a longer term sense, how long are we looking for these extensions? And also when it comes to refugee situations as well, What would the Greens like to see here?
Well, we already know. I think let's start with the fact that I think it's over 150,000 Ukrainians are now displaced, and that's going to climb massively, actually. And so that's an obligation for the global community to provide safe haven and absolutely to reinstate our refugee quota, similar to what we have done in the past and in other violent situations. And we could do that in compliance with, of course, best practice public health safety measures, and in particular by exploiting the Mangere Refugee Centre for an MIQ facility. And what we know is that centre is already fit for purpose and takes refugees and can have a six-week introductory stay. That is about transitioning people with care into our Aotearoa community, and you know that includes the health facilities which it is already providing. So there are some systems ready to go, and we think we should be using them.
Well, let's talk about the massive report that came out from the International Panel for Climate Change yesterday. I mean, there's a lot in the news cycle at the moment, but this is one that shouldn't get, I think, swept to the side. We've seen some really serious forewarnings about the situation that we're currently seeing around the world when it comes to climate change, but also what it's going to mean for cities. That's been a really big focus of this report, and there's also been a really interesting emphasis on it being a human rights issue now. And also something that Indigenous voices need to be centred in the response to. What's the Green Party's initial take from the report we've seen yesterday?
Well, of course, we welcome the report, which provides really useful information and analysis. It's also something that Indigenous people have been saying for decades, in fact. And it, unfortunately, well, what we know and knew already is that the report highlights that further climate change is inevitable, and that that rate and magnitude is largely dependent on the emission pathway from here and out to the future of futures. So we're really clear, as we always have been, that the work in adaptation is needed to match the rising risks and to support the way the world needs to evolve, and particularly the climate-resistant development of our resilience in communities and places and people, that any delay will absolutely impede our resilience to develop ourselves and will be even more fiscally costly. It was a wide accepted report, of course, but I think it just comes back to what we've always been saying, those impacted on the most, again, will be lower-income communities, coastal communities. There will be inequities and absolutely Indigenous communities around the world who have been clear for well over two decades that their leadership, knowledge, expertise is key to both adaptation and mitigation. And, you know, it's especially true here in Aotearoa. So we have to see big changes in our approach.
Are we doing enough as a country at the moment? We have a big focus on emissions trading in our response to climate change. This report would suggest that that's not going to be enough. Have we got enough in place at the moment, in your opinion, to see us through this next period and to have a really strong way forward through the climate crisis?
Oh, not right now, that's clear. And in a few months, the government will put out the emissions reduction plan, which will be the first plan ever to actually commit to properly seeing our emissions reduced, to properly actually addressing a new way of living that we have to accept and provide a just transition for. So not right now, of course, but we have done more in the past 3-4 years than we have done in three decades. And so that's important, but we've really got to keep it up, you know, and the support for my colleague, Climate Minister James Shaw, in wanting to fight for the best, strongest climate action possible is going to require support and working with people in communities for that grassroots leadership to be alongside pulling the power levers in the hallways of power. And so it's really important that we're all doing the work that we need to bring everybody into a climate action and climate justice space, which is essentially about changing the way that we live and relate to each other and having far longer visions and enduring visions for the type of world that we can be, one that actually ensures we've got a stable climate to pass on to mokopuna. So we're really clear about that.
Well, let's finish on something that's a little bit more positive. We've seen visitors returning from Australia this week. That's been something that has been really important to a lot of New Zealanders, to reconnect with whānau who are overseas, and for New Zealanders living in Australia to come home. We've also seen changes in the way that managed isolation is going to be happening. Essentially, vaccinated visitors will not have to isolate unless they are sick or test positive. And we're also seeing this will have some changes in the future space when we get more international visitors coming back through. How are you feeling about this week that we are seeing unfold at the moment?
Well, firstly, I'm feeling deeply grateful to border workers and MIQ workers and health staff who have literally been at that front line of keeping us safe for 2 years, and thanking all of our workers and all of our expertise for that work. So I think, you know, and that is a story of collective action, actually. So the border changes announced again highlight that need for stepping up protections then for people most at risk in communities. Mm-hmm. Now that we are removing that particular layer of protection, and, you know, it means that we have to even more so prioritise and have an equity lens on who will not have what they need to be resilient, strong and healthy. I want to say that we had always said from the start that we wanted a more compassionate approach to our borders and to our, even in our lockdowns, to our travelling borders within New Zealand, within Aotearoa. And that would have meant that we could prioritise, for example, returning New Zealanders who are pregnant or returning New Zealanders with a high personal and or health need, whether it's people needing to come and see sick or help care for relatives. So, you know, we always wanted a compassion, high-need approach to prioritising people to be able to come home and to be able to move around the country. So we, you know, we recognise that there are so many people who whose hearts have just been broken over the past 2 years by some of these necessary health measures. Mm-hmm. Now, we welcome them all home, and we want to see pre-N95 high-quality masks for everyone. We want to see community health providers having all the resources to get masks and make them accessible, but we also want to see the resources for local Māori Pacifica and community health providers to provide that self-isolation home support, whether that's kai medicines. We want to, you know, we absolutely are going to require that community level support more than ever.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Marama Davidson of the Greens Party. It's always great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you in a few weeks. Take care.
Thank you so much for having me, Rachel. Have a good week.
Kia ora.
That was What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.